There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. Well, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul,
forgave me,
made me whole,
took away my heavy burden,
and he gave me
peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt it.
It's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Care who tells me salvation is not real, though the world may argue that you cannot feel the heavy burdens lifted
and the vile sins gone.
Well, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul,
but he forgave me,
made me whole,
he took away my heavy burden,
and he gave me
peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt
it's
it.
It's real and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
There when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul,
when he forgave me,
made me whole,
he took away my heavy burden,
and he gave me
peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt
it. There when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
I was there when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
Amen. Don't give us the whole thing, but just tell this. Somebody tell me where they were when they got saved. Where was it? Amen. 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 Yeah. I remember. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Right here. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Right here. Amen. Here, here.
Yes, sir. My living room.
Amen. At the nursing home. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you do not know where you were the day you got saved, then I'm wondering about it. If you say, well, my mom or my dad told me, no, listen, the reason why I didn't ask for the date is some people in here would tell you, I don't know the date, but I know where I was when I met God. Sing that last verse one more time.
I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue that we cannot feel the heavy burdens lifted and the vile sins gone. Well, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know.
Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul.
Then he forgave me,
made me whole.
He took away my heavy burden,
and he gave me
peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt
it's
it.
It's real, and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
saved my soul.
He forgave me,
made me whole.
He took away my heavy burden,
and he gave me
peace within.
Peace within.
Satan can't make me doubt it.
I won't doubt
it's it.
It's
real, and I'm gonna shout it.
I'm gonna shout it.
I was there when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
I was there when it happened,
so I guess I ought to know.
In Ephesians chapter number 2, what the Lord is doing in our service is just what God does, working right into what I'm going to be preaching this morning and the thought for today. The Bible tells us that as preachers, we're supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. And some preachers, God gives them more ability and gifts to reprove and rebuke than they do to exhort. And I don't know if I fell on that list or not. But this morning, I would like to exhort for just a little while. And I've never been good at doing this part of it, but I'm telling you, I've been thinking a lot here lately of how good God's been. And not just how good He's been, but what He did for me. The day that He saved me. Yep. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You remember before you got saved? You remember the time? Now listen, I was 9 years old when I got saved, but I was lost and on my way to hell, dying in my sins before I got saved. Verse number 2, where in time past as He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In this passage of Scripture, and I do not have a lot of notes. I'm going to do something a little different this morning that I've never really done before. But in this passage of Scripture, we find the quickening power of the gospel. I believe the gospel is just as powerful today as it has ever been. The gospel that saved your soul from going to hell is still powerful today. It still can save a sinner. I wouldn't give, I've heard this said over and over again, I believe it, I wouldn't give a nickel or a dime for somebody's salvation that they weren't powerfully changed by the gospel. I'm not saying that they will change immediately and quit everything, but I'm telling you, the day they get saved, you become a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wouldn't give you anything for a salvation that does not change you. You can't change before salvation. The people that say that you have to repent of all these things and you got to think of all these sins. And listen, I believe in repentance because you have to acknowledge you're a sinner and you need a Savior. I'm talking about the people that say that you cannot get saved if you're doing this sin until you stop doing it. You can't stop sin until you get saved. A man last week told me that he visited a church. He was a guest evangelist and he was preaching and he gave the gospel and a woman came down and she was not dressed appropriately and they told her that she could not get saved until she changed her clothing and came back. I'm telling you, that's straight out of hell. The gospel changes somebody. Jesus loves sinners. He got mad at the religious people. You know who he's mad at? That idiot church that did that. That's who he's mad at. The church here at Ephesus is reminded of its original state, which was dead in their sins. Unregenerate souls are dead in trespasses and sin. I'm reminding you this morning, those that are saved, of what you were before you got saved. If I had a title to the message this morning, it would be past, present, and future. Before salvation, we were dead in trespasses and sin. The wages of sin is death. And the economy and inflation hasn't changed the wage one bit. It's absolutely still death. All those who are in their sins are dead in sins. They're dead in sins, in trespasses. We find in the first verse the quickening power of the gospel. In verse number 2, he reminds them of some past ways that they walked. The first verse, we see an inward problem. They're dead on the inside. They're dead in trespasses and sin. And because of that, there was an outward manifestation of sin. And you see that in verse number 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were bound to that sin. The first verse speaks of their internal state, and this passage tells us of their outward conversation. The trespasses and sins and what they walked in, they lived those, they behaved those things. Some of you got saved, you live like the devil. You live like the world. You have the world's language on your mouth. You have the world's ideas, the world's music. But then God saved you and something should have changed. Amen. Something should have took place inside of us. We were all by nature bond slaves to sin before salvation. Somebody can't help it. That's what they are. I say all the time, lost people do what lost people do. You see lost people doing something that makes you mad. Guess what? That's who they are by nature. They need to get saved. Go give them a gospel tract. Don't get mad at them. Give them a gospel tract. They're doing what they're supposed to do. It's the child of God that's not doing what they're supposed to do that we need to be upset about. Those who walk in trespasses and sins and according to the course of the world, they walk according to the prince of the power of the air. They are the children of the devil. And they need to be bought back, redeemed by the blood of Christ, just like you were.
The children of disobedience are such as choose to disobey God and to serve the devil. We find that here in these verses. That's what we were before we got saved. You know, look with me in verse number 3 again. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the what? The lust of our flesh. Fulfilling the what? The desires of the flesh. A lost person does what feels good. A lost person does what they want to do. Whatever they desire, whatever feels good, that's what they do. A born-again child of God does what pleases Christ and denies the flesh. Oh, but I enjoy that music so much, and I enjoy the way that I dress, and it makes me feel good. That's what a lost person does. That was times past. That's what we were saved from. And now, because of the music and listen, I understand God knows my heart. But guess what? Man looketh on the outward appearance. Man hears the music. Man sees the clothes. And whenever they see anything but Christ, you are helping them on their way to hell. You say, that's strong. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back real soon. And there's a lot of Christians that are helping their children and others around them go straight to hell because they don't see Christ. Because you know what a lost person does? A lost person does whatever feels good. Music is addicting. The way that we dress, the way that we act, the way that we behave in public, before our children, before the world. All these things. But if we do whatever feels good, that's what a lost person does. But you know what a saved person does? They walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. They deny themselves. And they want to please Christ more than anything. This was supposed to be an exhortation. We were dead in trespass. I'm thankful I'm saved. Amen. I don't have to be that anymore. I don't have to be a child of the devil. Those that are not saved, that's exactly where they stand. As a saved child of God, we ought to do whatever we can to please Christ. And you say, do you do it perfectly? I try my best, but no. When you fail, you ask the Lord to forgive you. He saved us. He gave us the ability and the strength to be able to say, Lord, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I'm thankful for that verse because I can go to God because of my Savior, because of the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, I messed up right here. Would you please help me? We ought to have a desire to please Christ. The past, present, and future. Before you got saved, you were on your way to a devil's hell. You walked after the prince of the power of the air and after the devil and after one of his children, by nature the children of wrath. That was before. That was the past. But every one of you, or most everybody in here, when I said, tell me where you got saved, I'm telling you, that day for me, it was at Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. I was in the condition of the first three verses, but verse number 4 in July of 1995, but God showed up. But God showed up in my life and showed me I was a sinner. Some people in here right now cannot rejoice over this right now because they're under conviction about what I preached the first time. But I'm here to tell you right now, I'm thankful for God's salvation. I'm thankful for but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. God showed up. He sent His Son. They sang about it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God showed up and changed my eternity. It went from hell to heaven. It went to God saving me and redeeming me. But God. You all, man, as you were going around, I saw some of you in tears begin to move down your face because you remembered that but God situation in your life. You remembered when but God showed up. You remember when your life completely changed because God showed up in your life. I'm thankful for the day that He showed up in my life and saved me. But God, who is rich in mercy. Sing with me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. The first three verses. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Sing it out. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's grace my sin I'd learn. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Though my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Think about it. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. But God, who is rich in mercy, what a merciful God that He would do that for a sinful man. For somebody that He knew. I was preaching a moment ago about the things we shouldn't be doing, and some of us are doing those things. But God, who knew that, but yet had mercy anyway, and still gives mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. We're talking about the past. Now we're in the present. I'm thankful I'm living in the mercy of God right now. God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. In verse number 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The unmerited favor of God. This is not in your songbook, but if you know it, sing. I was in prison, locked up in chains. Sin held me captive to sorrow and pain. Years of frustration as love passed me by. Until the Master heard my heart's cry. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace flows from above with infinite love. Marvelous grace. I was downhearted, broken inside, praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. Jesus, my Savior, was searching for me. Grace overflowing has set my soul free. For grace, marvelous grace, to pardon and make me whole, grace. Marvelous grace flows from above with infinite love. Marvelous grace. Thankful for the day that mercy showed up in my life. I'm thankful for the day that grace showed up in my life. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible goes on in verse number 6. We're talking about the past, the present. The present, in the present. The Bible said that He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised you up below where you were. He gave you a name, a new name, written down in glory. Love lifted me up the day that I got saved. People think that there's somebody in society because of a certain name or because of their money or their job. They're absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. I am rich because of what He's done for me. That's the past and the present. Let's look at the future for just a moment. The Bible says there in verse number 6, this is still the present, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come. I mean, we've already looked at the past before salvation. We looked at the but God, the present. And now the future, because of what Christ did for us, we have a bright future. When I say bright, Jesus is the light. Amen. He's the light of New Jerusalem. And we have a future because of Him. Because of what He did for us. That in the ages to come, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it out, church. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness, His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful that we have the grace of God right now? Amen. We have it right now as a present possession. I'm telling you right now, His grace gets better. How can His grace get any better? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. We haven't even scratched the surface of the riches of God's grace. You can't handle it in this body you have right now. Whew, God's been good. I'm living on His grace right this very minute. And so are you. But I'm telling you, it hasn't even scratched the surface. Isn't that what the book says? It says in the ages to come, He might show you the exceeding riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. There's a better day coming. There's coming a day. We saw the past, the present, the future. Now how do you get in? Look at the next verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing in this world that you could possibly do to merit the salvation of God. Grace itself, the definition is the unmerited favor of God. It means there's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. We've all realized in the first part that we're sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So why are you preaching this, Brother Andrew? God told me to preach it this morning, but I'm telling you here, even with our little church, there's somebody in here that might not know that they're saved. I don't know where I was when I got saved, and I'm not 100% sure. I'm telling you this morning, you can know for sure. For by grace are you saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do I get in? By grace. By grace through faith. I know I'm a sinner. That's repentance. I know I've sinned against the holy, righteous God. I'm a sinner, and I'm tired of living in my sin. I'm tired of being sin, in trespasses in sin. I'm tired of hell being my eternal destination if something doesn't change. I'm tired of my sin. If you're lost in here this morning, you have nothing to give to God but your sin. That's all you have to give Him. You have nothing else to give Him. But guess what He wants? He wants you to give it to Him. Father, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and Your Word said You'd save me. Lord, would you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. You said You'd save me. Will You save me? And He'll do it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did, was it precious? Was it precious the moment that grace showed up for you? The hour I first believed, when we bid the ages to come, 10,000 years bright shining as the sun. We've no less days For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We saw the past, we saw the present, we saw our future, we saw how to get in. Now what do we do about it? What do we do about it? What are we doing about it right this second? Ella, come get on the piano. What are we doing about it? Verse number 10. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
I know some folks might be boring you to death this morning, but this is what God laid on my heart. I'm excited about what God did for me. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Church, we have a responsibility because of what God did in our past, because of what He did in our present, because of what He's doing right now, and because of what's to come, we have a great responsibility. Hold on, Ella, just one second. I want to sing one more song. Let's all stay in church, sing this with me, and then she's going to play something. The Lord laid this song on my heart to finish up this morning. Stay faithful to God. No matter how bad or hard it gets, keep doing something for Him. Keep trying to please Him. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Oftimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over, in God's eternal day. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a horse, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God spoke to your heart during the message. Would you talk to Him? Maybe that you need to come down and thank God for saving you. God, thank You for mercy. Thank You for grace. Thank You that I'm no longer going to hell. Maybe God spoke to you for another reason. Maybe you're not being the workman that you ought to be. Listen, you, whatever it is, if God talked to you during the service and spoke to you, would you talk back with Him? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. There's many that have come. If God spoke to your heart, we want to give you the opportunity. Would you come talk to God? Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're not saved. Whole time I was preaching, you don't know what I'm talking about, the grace and mercy of God. Maybe you've been around somebody that's saved, and so you've experienced some of what they've experienced, but you don't have it for yourself. Would you come today and get it settled? I would sure hate to die on a "I think I'm saved." If I was to die today, I know I'm saved. And you can know for sure today as well. "Oh, Brother Andrew, I got to quit this and I got to do this. When I get this..." No, no, no. You can't do any of that until you get saved. Why don't you come this morning? We'll get a Bible. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Anybody like that at all? Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. When you were going around the room talking about the place, I don't have a place. I'm not sure." Anybody like that at all? Nobody's looking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not one person's looking around except for me. Anybody like that at all would look up and say, "Preacher, that's me, and I'd like to know for sure. I don't want to go to hell. I'm tired of the devil beating me up. I'm tired of being his child. I want to know that heaven is my home. I want that grace. I want that mercy you just preached about." Anybody like that at all? Maybe there's somebody in here this morning that you are saved. But I tell you what, you have gotten to the point in your Christian life where thinking about what Christ did for you no longer excites you. We've allowed sin and world in our flesh to rob us of the joy of our salvation. It's okay if that's happened. It happened. It happened to David, King David. He prayed, said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We get discouraged and we allow sin to come in. What's bad is if you realize that's what's happened and you remain in that condition. Instead of getting right with God and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry for pleasing myself. I want to please you." We have a past. We got a present. And I thank God we've got a future that's secure. Those that are in hell today have an eternity there. They do have eternal life in hell. But it's not life, it's eternal death. It's dying every day and never dying. As a child of God, we can live and live and live in life, in abundant life, in exceeding life, in joyful life. Those in hell, it's dying every single day. The Bible describes it as this: where the worm dieth not. It's trying to die. It's continual death and never dying. That's an awful thing. There's still folks praying. You just remain with your head bowed, eyes closed for just another moment. I don't know if you've ever watched somebody dying that's in pain, that's hurting as they're dying. That's nothing compared to hell. That pain is magnified and it never ends. Screaming, tormenting, gnashing of teeth. And child of God, you that are saved here this morning, the Lord saved you from that. And He gave you a home in heaven. Eternal life, not eternal death, eternal life. Praise the Lord for the but God. Amen. All right, you can look up here. Are you thankful for your salvation?
Amen.
I am. I'm thankful for it. Amen. Amen. All right, next Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. Looking forward to it. We're going to have regular services. We'll have Sunday school and our morning service in the nursing home. So please pray. Be praying about that this Wednesday night, the Lord's Supper service. All we're doing Wednesday night, we'll come in and we'll have the Lord's Supper service. And looking forward to that. And so please come here if you can. Be praying about it. And those that are praying and fasting, thank you for being willing to do that. Please take it serious. You take it serious, the Lord will take it serious. And what you'll find out is the Lord will bless the camp meeting. He'll answer that. He promised in His Word He'd do these things. But then you'll get a blessing out of it. You'll get a blessing out of it. Isn't that good? Amen. All right. Brother Stephen, will you dismiss in a word of prayer?